Thanks, Stanton. What an introduction. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Duane, for the privilege of being here at Lighthouse this morning and really the privilege of sharing with you what God is doing in Chad, Africa, and some little bits of how Wycliffe is involved there. First of all, I'm dressed as a Chadian lady would dress when she goes to church in the center part of Chad where I'm from. In the south, they dress a little bit differently, but in the middle part where I am, they dress like this. This is called a lafai, and it's just 6 yards of cloth that you wrap around you, and it's not really that hot if it's cotton, and it kind of acts as sunscreen, too, because it's very hot in Chad. And another benefit is it covers a multitude of sins. You don't have to dress too fancy underneath. You can just cover up. So I thought I'd give you a little taste of how some of the people dress like there. Again, thank you for the opportunity of sharing with you. I thought, first of all, I would show you my family, because in Africa, it's really important to know who a person is related to. This is all my family, my brothers and sisters, and their husbands and wives and their children. I am unmarried. I've never been married, so I can't show you a picture of my husband or children, so I show you a picture of my family. Well, you might be wondering, okay, I've never heard of Chad. Where is Chad? Chad is right in the very center of Africa. Our neighbor to the east is Sudan. To the north is Libya. To the west is Nigeria and Niger. And to the south is Central African Republic. Now, it looks kind of like a small country up there on the map, but it's actually three times the size of California. You can fit three Californias in there. And about 11 million people, so it's not hugely populated. Three different climates. The top is desert. The middle is Sahel, semi-desert. That's where I work, in the central part. The south is more humid, and that's where the majority of the people live. But the majority of the unreached peoples are in the center area where I work. There are 130 languages, over 130 languages spoken in Chad. And half of them are still unwritten. They don't have nothing written, no books, no Bibles, no magazines, no nothing written in their language. And so there's still a great work to be done, even in Chad. I've been a missionary in Chad for over 17 years. And will you say, well, you look kind of old to only have been. Maybe you say, oh, really? Well, I had a career as an optician for over 15 years before God called me to Chad. And I heard, as you heard, my family heritage is missionaries and ministers, and I always felt that tug on my heart, but it wasn't until later, as I already had a career, that God really began tugging on my heart and calling me to be a missionary. And I thought, how can I do that? I already have a career. Really, Lord, are you really calling me? And so I really prayed hard, and I asked God, and God spoke to me through a verse in the Bible, something that really spoke to my heart. It was in Mark 10:4, when the disciples were saying, we've given everything up for you, Lord. And Jesus said, well, I'll tell you the truth. Whoever gives up fathers and mothers and brothers and sisters and lands and things for my sake in the kingdom will receive tenfold in this age and in the age to come. Now, that might not seem like a missionary verse to you. But to me, that was God speaking to me and assuring me that he was calling me to missions. And so, God led me to serve in Chad, where there are some of the least reached people groups in Africa and in the world, too. And God called me to work with Wycliffe Bible Translators. The ministry, as Stanton said, of Wycliffe Bible Translators is to live among the people, learn their language, and put it in a written form. And then, so I lived among the people. And that's the way the people live. They live outside. They live like camping. And they cook over open fires. And we have tea in those little teapots. And they live in huts. Now, I didn't live in a hut. I lived in a mud brick house with a tin roof. And we had running water. If the ladies who brought me water in their jars, they would run as they go. So, no, not really. But we lived very simply, And we spent a lot of time with the people. We had to learn their language, learn how to speak, and learn what the language was all about. Put it in writing, and then begin the work of ministry of Bible translation. And so it took a long time. I worked with a team of Africans and another lady from New Zealand. And together we worked on the Bible translation as well as literacy, because the majority of the people didn't know how to read. Only less than 10% of the people in our area know how to read. So we organized literacy classes, and most of the classes were outside with a very simple blackboard. You don't need a lot of equipment. Sometimes they didn't even have a building. We produced reading booklets, health booklets, math booklets, and scripture portions as well as we progressed with the Bible translation. We taught teachers. We trained teachers. They, in turn, had classes, and people moved from beginner readers to intermediate readers and to good readers. And that picture there, some in the early classes, we used blackboards, little slates, to teach them how to write as well. Now, that's not backwards. That's the letter A. Because the best way to write a language is to use one letter and one symbol. English, we have a lot of letters that have different sounds, right? So that letter is, it's a backwards C, right? And it's pronounced aw. Aw, it's a vowel. So in English, we have that sound, like ought, taught, brought. But how many letters do we use? O-U-G-H, right? Four letters. So instead of using four letters, we use it very efficiently. We use one letter, the letter aw. That's just a little insight into some phonetic stuff about translating. So, besides organizing classes and training teachers, we continued on with the ministry of Bible translation, and after 12 years, we finally finished the New Testament, and it was printed, and we dedicated the Kenga New Testament, and that was the ceremony. So that's what the New Testament, that's what our Testament looks like. And so I thought I would read to you, well, I don't even need to read it, I have it memorized, an important verse in the Bible, and let's see if you can guess what it is. Tarase nain je jega achio, nain olo nain gon kolonlak, ta demjai al machin do nain kise, nain kon kutio, num nain kon kaden gen dayum dayum. Amen. Can you guess what verse that is? Yes, it's John 3:16. Very good. I don't know how you would guess that, but you probably just assumed. By faith, that's right. Okay. Well, pardon me? Though the pace of it. Ah, okay. Very good. Okay. Well, during our dedication ceremony, there were about 2,000 people that showed up, and we had to feed them all. And we had many people who gave speeches. One of the people who gave speeches was the chief of all the Kenga people, Chief Jimmy. Now, he's a Muslim, because the majority of people in our area are Muslim. But he was very supportive of our work. And he got up to give his speech. We presented him with a New Testament. And then he said this. He said, God is speaking to us. He said, I'm a Muslim, and what is to prevent me from reading this? If I, as your leader, don't give you the example, who will? Imagine that, a Muslim leader promoting our New Testament for us, not making a divide and not opposing us. That's God working, and we praise God for that. Well, one of our pastors, after we dedicated the New Testament and had that ceremony, we organized classes for the pastors to help them learn how to read the New Testament. They were used to reading French. They weren't used to seeing their language written in these different letters, like the backward C and other unique letters. And they were used to giving sermons by just reading the French out loud, which nobody understood. No, people in the villages don't speak French. It's only the people in the big cities or if you're highly educated. So their way of doing sermons was to preach to read the scripture in French and then just explain the scriptures in Kenga afterwards. So some of the pastors said, well, now that we have the New Testament, what am I going to preach? Because they were just used to explaining what was written and not really digging out how to apply scriptures and giving examples. So we had lots of workshops to help the pastors get a few skills and be confident in reading the scriptures out loud. So one of our pastors said at one of these workshops, he said, well, all along I didn't really think what you were doing was very important. But now that I hear God's word in Kenga, it's clear and it speaks to me. Now I know, he said. And so, wow, you say, wow, you didn't realize what was going on? But when they would hear it, they said, wow, that's really clear. In fact, one time, before we finished the translation, we had a guest speaker in our little village church. He was speaking on 1 Timothy. And he got up and somebody was going to read it in French. And I said, well, wait, we've got that translated. Let us read it in Kenga. And so somebody read it in Kenga. And then he said, well, I don't even need to preach. I mean, it's just clear. But that's what hearing God's word in your own language means to you. I don't know. Some of you maybe are not second language speakers of English here. I don't know. But if you're always hearing something in a language that you don't fully understand, there's little nuances that don't really speak to your heart as if it's in your mother tongue. Well, getting God's word in a written form was only part of our work, because we knew that what percentage of the people could read? Less than 10%. So in this congregation, what, there's about 40 people here maybe? So only 4 of you would be able to read this. Wow. So what does everybody else do? What do you do if only 4 people in this whole group can read the Bible? How are the rest of you going to be able to hear God's word and be nourished and encouraged spiritually? Well, you 4 could read to them, but what if you're not around? What if you're sick? What if you lost your reading glasses? You can't be in all places all at once, can you? All right, we're just going to let this fall off. So what we did is we put the whole New Testament in an audio form. Hosanna Ministries came and they made a dramatized audio recording. They do this for languages around the world where there's a Bible translation among people groups, or even if there are lots of readers in the group. It's another way of hearing and getting God's word. So they used 24 different voices, 24 different people, including 4 women, because there's a few women who speak in the New Testament. And then we began distributing the audio form of the New Testament with little SD cards, micro SD cards, like the ones that fit in your telephone, so people could put that in their telephone, those who had a telephone that could listen to music. And then we distributed little radios. You can get radios that you put a little SD card in a slot, and it plays the MP3 files. So it was in MP3 files. And so we organized listening groups. Well, I guess, yeah, there's a listening group. It's not a great picture, but you can see that yellow arrow shows the little radio. And so they would meet together once a week in a group and listen to a half hour of the New Testament, and then just ask questions afterwards for a half hour and discuss it and pray. And the idea is that if you do that regularly, you will have listened to the whole New Testament even before a year is up. So that's a way for people who can't read, they're blind, or they have not yet learned to read, or they're not good readers, that they can be nourished by God's word. And we are seeing fantastic, well, I shouldn't say fantastic, but we're hearing of encouraging results from these listening groups. We've had people come to know the Lord for the first time from these groups, people who have reconciled. They were not speaking to each other for years. And as a result of listening and hearing about forgiveness and reconciliation, they were brought together. And numbers of people who have confessed their sin, that's what the Africans call it. They're hearing God's word and they're convicted of the truth. And so they say, you know, I haven't been doing that. I confess that I need to change my ways. I confess to the Lord. And so this is encouraging. We're seeing some positive results. But now, we do want people to read. So in addition to organizing listening classes, we organized reading classes. And so we trained people how to facilitate a little reading class. I wrote little simple Bible stories, like three-sentence Bible stories. And so people who were weak readers, they knew a little bit about reading. Maybe they'd been to school for 3 or 4 years, so they knew a little bit about reading, but they couldn't read the New Testament yet. We organized progressive stories, harder, 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 until they could reach up to the New Testament level. And those have been very successful. There's a number of people. They meet in groups of 10 to 12 people, and they read the stories together. Then there's a Bible verse to learn by heart. And they talk about the Bible verse and the story. And so it's kind of like a Bible study, really. And we sneak in a little Bible study there. And we're seeing that touch lives too, as people get more hungry about God's word. There's a man in our village whose name is Ratu. He was a very successful businessman, I guess you could call him a businessman in the village sense. He loved God. He loves God with all his heart. In fact, he's one of our elders. And he can sort of read. He could sort of read, but he never liked reading. And he was so hungry to read God's word. This was an important big man. And he humbled himself to come to these reading classes faithfully. He was always there. And little by little, he gained confidence. Confidence, confidence, reading more and more complicated stories until now he can read the New Testament out loud with confidence. And those are some encouraging things. Now, when we had one of these workshops just this last year for pastors, helping them be confident about reading the Bible and different topics that were important to them in their village, one pastor, I noticed what his Bible looked like. So I was encouraged by this one pastor. That's what his Bible looked like. That's my Bible on the left, on the right. And that's his Bible on the left. It's all broken down. It's held together. I don't know if you can tell, but it's held together. It's stitched with string, and it's falling apart. But you know, I think that's great. Mm-hmm. I think that's great because that means he's using it. He's taking it to church every week, 2 or 3 times a week, and he's using it. He's reading it. He's reading it to other people, and he's studying it. That's great. I would love to see 10 or 20 Bibles like that, then one or two like this. Well, I use mine too, but Africans live outside, and so they're kind of a little bit rough with their things. But I was encouraged by that. Well, not only did we seek to meet the spiritual needs of people through Bible translation and these classes, but we also sought to touch their physical needs as well. In our area in central Chad, well, in most rural areas, there are no dentists. No dentists. So if you have a toothache, you just suffer. Or if you can get somebody to take it out, or you might have to go to the capital city. And if you go to the capital city to see a dentist where you can get your tooth out or get it filled or something, that will cost you like 5 days' wages. Well, people in our area, they just don't have 5 days' wages to give for that type of care. So one of our projects was training local dental workers. So these are nurses in some of the church clinics, and we trained them to pull teeth. So we invited trained American dentists who came in for 1 week. We trained eight dentists from 4 different clinics. And so for 2 days, they got the theory, and the 4 days, it was a six-day course, they pulled teeth and providing a ministry of compassion. And so now they're in their clinics, and they're pulling teeth every week. It sounds rather dramatic, but many of the, it's either that or suffer. So if it's possible to save the tooth, we always advise them, look, you can go to the capital city and they can give you a filling. But, you know, your tooth is all rotted and you have they don't do root canal, so I mean that's not a possibility. It's pull the tooth, and so at least they get relief from their pain, and so that's one of the ministries that we're kind of a compassion ministry we're involved in. We've had two different workshops like this where we've trained people, so I love it because God had on my heart for years to be involved in that ministry. So that's what we're doing besides Bible translation. Well, the Kenga have God's word in their heart language. And one of our neighboring groups, the Dungaliot, they have the New Testament now. They dedicated their New Testament almost the same time. But in our area, there are 22 other languages in the immediate area where we are that do not have God's word yet in their language. And so this is what their Bible looks like. This is what their Bible looks like. It's blank because it hasn't been written yet. And yet I read in my New Testament, in Revelation, God gave John this vision. He said, "After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, crying, 'Salvation belongs to our God.'" So I know there's going to be Kenga people there. There's going to be Dungaliot people there. But what about the Bidya? What about the Dajio? What about the Mubi? What about the Gergiko? These are some of the other language groups in our area that don't yet have the Bible in their language. And some of those groups don't really have any Christians. The Saba, the Mawa have a few. The Bolgo, there are no Christians in the Bolgo. Who is going to go to them? Who is going to reach them? How will that happen? Well, God's word tells us about that too. Do you know that verse in Romans 10:14? The Apostle Paul said, "How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that bring good news." So part of my ministry, when I go back to Chad, I've been here for a break, but I'm going to be continuing working with our regional team to reach these other unreached people groups. In fact, we just finished recording some stories, oral Bible stories for the Mawa and the Saba. And even though they don't have God's form in a written language, they have oral stories that they can at least begin to listen to before we start Bible translation. So I'll be working with this regional team reaching some of these unreached people groups. But let me ask you this. Will you be a part of bringing God's word to these people groups? You can be a part by praying. You can be a part by praying and asking God to send other people who will preach and who will bring the good news to them. You can pray for me. You can pray and ask God, what would you have me do? Would you have me go? Hey, I'm an example of someone that God called out, already had a career, already had a job, and God called me. And you might say, well, but I'm not a preacher. I couldn't do Bible translation. I'm not an intellectual. Hey, good news. There's a part in Bible translation. Bible translators need a lot of support. We need computer people, mechanics, because we work in places where there are not good roads, and so we need good, reliable vehicles and people to help us keep them in good shape. And we go back and forth to the capital city, and we go to the regional centers. So sometimes we need people who can maintain a little apartment for us, or housing. So we need like housing people. We need administrative people, bookkeepers. to help us so that we are freed up to concentrate on Bible translation. Especially we need computer people because we rely heavily on our computers. So we're always in need of computer geeks to do programming, to do maintenance on our laptops and our computers. So there could be a place for you, even though you might say, well, I don't think I could do Bible translation, but you could be a part in another way. So maybe God is calling you. And I encourage you to listen and ask God. And if you sincerely ask God, God will show you. God will lead you. And all of us can be missionaries where we are and touching other people for the Lord wherever we are. Because all of us have a unique place in our communities and in our life and unique people that only we can touch, only that we can reach. And we can be God's hand, God's voice to those people, bringing God's word to them. So I have little cards on the table in the lobby. If you would like to take a little card to remember me, and if God is speaking to you to encourage you to pray for me, I would love it if you would pray for me, that I would be healthy, that I would be safe, and that I would be effective in a ministry. And I'm just like any other person. Sometimes I get cranky too. And you can pray that God will help me to have a sweet spirit all the time, and that I will be a winsome witness to the Kenga people and the people in the Gera in the middle of Chad. Well, I know we still have some time left, and I intended to stop a little bit early because I thought you might have some questions that you'd like to ask.
I've got numerous.
Oh, all righty. Go right ahead then.
Pastor Ken's going to get a mic for me.
Okay.
Let me ask you a question before we go further. Mm-hmm. We upload all of our sermons and our Sunday school classes to the website.
Right. Right. He said that. Right.
Okay. Can we upload?
Yes. Those? Yes.
Okay.
Surely.
All right.
Because I don't think I've said anything sensitive. So.
Okay. Okay.
All right. And the reason why I want my questions to go on here, because
sure,
there's a lot of pastor friends of mine that do listen to this.
Okay.
So what are some safety issues? I heard that you are surrounded by some predominantly Muslim countries.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Well, right now we are a little bit concerned by two things. We just had a presidential election, and our president was up for election for his fifth five-year term. There were many people unhappy with that, and yet he was elected by a slight majority, which the opposition is claiming there were some irregularities in the election, let's just say that. So things are tense politically, and so there's always a concern for anybody's safety just moving around the city, and if there's riots and things, that could affect our property and our personal safety. So we're a little concerned about that. Boko Haram, you've heard of Boko Haram or ISIS. They are active in all the countries around us. And so we are restricted from traveling to certain areas along the border. The Chad government works with the European countries and the French and Americans, and that the Chad is the headquarters for fighting ISIS and Boko Haram in our neighboring countries. And so there have been several explosions in the capital city from Boko Haram, these guys who are in Nigeria. And so we have to be careful. When this first kind of started, they said, don't go to any restaurants. This is in the capital city. I do not live in the capital city. I live out in the country. So it didn't affect me unless I went in there. Don't go to the restaurants. Don't go to this. So we have to be careful not to go to, like, big rallies and things that would be attractive for terrorists to cause problems.
Okay. Financial support. Where are you as far as, I know a lot of missionaries I talk to, they say we're at 75%, we're at 90%, we're at 30%. Where are you, and how much a total month do you need to to go?
Right. Well, right now my budget is at $2,400 a month.
Wow.
So is that low or is that
No,
high?
That's wow.
Yeah. Wycliffe is a bit
low.
Can
you imagine? That is very low compared to what most...
I can raise
most...
it up if you want. I recently had one supporter who passed away, And so I'm not sure if her family will continue that support. She supported me at $50 a month. But right now, my support is really good. I praise God for that. And so that's the only question mark that I have.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Do you get most, is most of your support from churches or is it from individuals?
Individuals.
Individuals. Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay.
I would say it's about 70-30.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. What do you do for church?
Well, when I'm in the village, I go to the Kenga church. And it's all in Kenga. And my Kenga is pretty good, but some sermons, I can understand the individual words sometimes, but when they put them together in a certain way, I don't get it. So sometimes it's really an enriching experience for me, and other times it's like I go because I'm an encouragement to others.
Yeah.
And I have to do church myself. I listen to sermons. I listen to Timothy
yep.
Keller.
Yep.
I listen to my cousin, John Garlock. If other people send me podcasts or sermons, I listen to those. I have Bible studies. And when I'm in the capital city, I go to a French-speaking church.
Okay. All right. How do you communicate with him?
Email.
Oh, yeah? So you do have internet.
Okay. This is a complicated answer because
okay.
when I'm in the village, I have limited, it's dial-up, very limited dial-up email. So I can do email.
Okay.
I can't look on Amazon.com. I can't look up on your website.
So explain to them how you have the energy for that.
I have solar panels. Oh, yeah, I should have said that when I live. I live off grid. How's that? Yeah. solar panels with a bank of batteries. And I do have a luxury. I have a solar refrigerator. So that is a real blessing.
So when the email send me as family or friends, so you want to limit your email. You know, a lot of times they include pictures. Include this.
Oh.
Never do that.
Well, only if they're like 100 KB so picture, a small picture.
Just the words, could be short, no extra flowery things. That way you
know or small attachment.
Because if it's
under 200.
It's too big, then it gets held in her account. She only can read it when she goes to the Capitol.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so like if you like ready to attach a newsletter or something.
Right.
She have to wait for a picture and pictures from weddings or things like that.
Yeah. Wow. Or in the capital city, we have much better connection. I can look on the website sometimes. I can download bigger things, and it's faster.
Okay. So. Maury had a question.
How about regular mail? Can you get that?
Yes. Yes. We pay like a couple dollars, kind of a postal fee when they come in. Bigger things, if they have like electronics or something, then we might have to pay duty on them. But I've never had to. People have sent me kind of large things, and they have like little things in them or whatever. I've never paid. So.
What are some things that we could mail to you that would be helpful to you?
You know, I really love magazines. It's kind of expensive to send books because they're heavier paper, but my sister once subscribed to a magazine for me for a year. I really loved it. It was a treat. That, I would say, is one of the things that I can't get in Chad. Actually, if you want chocolate, you can get nice chocolate in the capital city. But you can always send me chocolate. I will always accept it.
We were a kindred...
Yeah.
Right, right. Well, you saw by the map, Chad is landlocked. There's no port. So things have to come by airmail only. Or if they come overland, they come through Cameroon, 3 days' journey up by truck into into Chad. So the rainy season is your summer. Think of your summer. That's when the rains come. So the roads are getting better, but it takes longer for things to get to us. During Christmas time, people mail me Christmas cards at the beginning of December, but sometimes I still don't get them until April.
Wow.
Before I came home just now, I got a Christmas card in actually late March.
So we need to mail you Christmas cards in July or August.
Well, you know what happens? If people mail me a Christmas card in November, then I'll get it at the end of November. But the reason is because things come through Paris. And so I think that there's just so much mail in Paris that they can't clear it all. And they just, whatever's most important and what they have room for, and it goes like that. Did that answer your question?
Or? I know the answer. I appreciate that.
Okay.
So you think about our road system, you know, you can just get in the car and drive pretty much anywhere, you just have your windshield wiped.
Uh-huh.
But there
are times that you literally can't drive on the roads. Like you said, they're even better.
Yes, we now have in the main road that gets out to my village, there's a paved road to the village. But if you go off that paved road, like if I go to any other, many of the other villages, they're dirt roads. And so during rainy season, some of them you just can't get to these places because they're seasonal rivers. And so there are no bridge across the seasonal river. So those people can't get out, and we can't get to them. And sometimes you say, well, don't go today because it just rained. So we'll just wait a couple days till the road dries up, and then we'll go. And I have a four-wheel drive vehicle, a Toyota Land Cruiser station wagon, which was a blessing. God provided that through supporters the last time I was home 2 years ago.
I saw that on your blog.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was trolling her on, web the other day. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes?
What
foods
do you guys eat?
What foods?
Well, the Chadians eat millet. Millet is like bird seed. It grows on a stalk. It looks like a corn stalk, but it grows a head like this of seed, small seed. They grind it into a flour and cook it like polenta. So it's like this stiff oatmeal. And then they eat it with a sauce. Normally it's a leaf sauce or okra, if that's in season. And they put dried meat in it or dried fish or fresh meat if they have it. And garlic and maggi cubes and something to make it so it's thick because they dip that in there. I eat that with them, and I cook it for myself several times a week. I eat bread, I eat rice, I eat bulgur, you know, cooked wheat that you eat. And I eat a lot of peanut sauce. Peanuts are another big crop there, so they eat peanut sauces mixed with vegetables. I do that. I dry when things are plentiful, I dry or can some of those things so I can have them throughout the year. So I try to eat local foods because they're cheaper and fresher, and I kind of adapt them for an American palate.
Got a McDonald's nearby?
Excuse me?
McDonald's nearby?
There are no McDonald's.
Gerald, you'd be out of luck, man.
What we call McDonald's, is there in the town, not my village, but the town next door that's 10 miles away, there's lots of people that do this barbecue. They'll kill a goat and slice it up and put it on a kind of a barbecue. And so during market days, you go there and you say, okay, I want $1 or I want $2 worth of this meat. They cut it up nicely for you and put a little sauce on it, and then they have these little breads. And so for a couple dollars, the $2 menu, right, you can get that. And if you want a Coke, you can buy a Coke next door.
Wow.
So we're not that...
No Starbucks?
No Starbucks.
No Starbucks. All right.
No, the Starbucks is the tea stall, where you can get two little glasses of tea for 50 cents.
Wow. All right, last question. Okay. What can we... You mentioned praying for you, praying with you, going... How... Because I know most of us have jobs. Most of us, you know, are in our careers here.
Right.
Married, have kids, family. But are there short-term opportunities that we could take in your region or area that we could go for maybe a week to two and help you? And could that be something that we could do, and what would it entail?
Yes, there are opportunities for practical ministry. In the area of computer technology, sometimes we've had people come out that did some programs for our partner organization for literacy. They did some programming. They did some training of the local people. We've had short-term people come and do things for our network and our center. We've had mechanics come and help everybody who needed help with their cars. We've had people come who are builders, and they've made some furniture, and they've repaired our missionary houses and our center, different places. So those are some practical. We even had a team, a lady who came with her husband who was a carpenter, and she taught English.
Wow.
Yeah. So she had some experience to do that, because Chadians, there's a lot of Chadians that want to learn English. especially if they're working with a mission organization where English is spoken a lot. Mm-hmm. So that's an opportunity. Sometimes if you wanted to come and do, somebody want to come and minister to the missionaries, actually.
Okay.
We have an annual retreat, spiritual retreat, for 3 days. And we've had people, we had one church, they sent their pastor to preach, and they brought their worship team.
Wow.
That was a real blessing to us. That was a real blessing to us. So those are some of the things.
Yeah. Wow.
There was a question over there, I don't know if we have time for it or not.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with the BioLite stove? It's a stove that burns organic matter and you can actually charge cell phones.
What's it called?
It's called BioLite.
BioLite, no. I'll have to look that up.
It's about $150 and it generates electricity through the thermal conductivity of the bio that's burned.
Wow, BioLite. That sounds good. That sounds great.
All right, any more questions?
There was one right
okay,
there.
Marcy?
Yes, actually, a little bit. When I first went out there, reading glasses were hard to get. So I would bring back, you know, the dollar store reading glasses, and people appreciated it so much. We would sell it to them for the cost, or if they really couldn't afford it, we would just give it to them. And from time to time, I've adjusted my colleagues' eyeglasses and helped people, and I advised a lot for eye care. But it was kind of limited, but I was able to a little bit. Actually, because I worked for an ophthalmologist, so I had some medical, a little bit of medical knowledge, and so I was able to advise. The Africans do not have, for the most part, do not have the type of just average medical knowledge of how to treat simple things and a knowledge of certain diseases. So they would think we had all the answers. We didn't, but we helped as best we could.
How far are you away from the capital city?
That's a day's drive.
Okay.
About close to 400 miles.
Okay. And how often do you get to go?
3 or 4 times a year.
Okay.
Usually. Yeah.
All right. That's like a holiday for you, isn't it?
It's not usually a holiday. We have meetings, or I'm teaching or participating in a training course.
Okay.
Is usually the reason. So we have our annual meeting, and usually I go, yes, as a break after rainy season, and then maybe once or twice because of a course we're training Chadians.
Okay. All right. Well, let's pray. Be dismissed. Boy, I enjoyed this morning, didn't y'all?
Yeah.
I mean, this was a blessing to me. And, you know, let's really pray as a church of how we can minister to her. And you know, this is not by accident that you're here.
I believe
it. Okay? And this is not something that we use to take up Sunday school hour.
No.
And to get me out of teaching for a Sunday, all right? This is something that the Lord directed here today to challenge us and challenge to me. So let's pray. All right, Father God, we thank you for Cindy, and we thank you for her willingness and her servant's heart and spirit. Father, we thank you for the challenge that we've had this morning. I have never heard of this particular country, never heard of the needs that they have there. And I have been challenged this morning. And now, Father, I just ask and pray that you would just help us as a body of believers to minister to her through prayer. But also, maybe in the future, we could minister there by taking a group there and building some buildings or repairing some buildings, repairing some automobiles and doing some teaching, some emotional and spiritual support that we can give to the missionaries that are there. And I pray that you would just open up those doors for us to be able to do that. And now, Father, we pray that you would dismiss us with your blessing now. I pray that those that are going to be able to listen to this lesson this morning through our sermon audio page, I pray that it would be a blessing to them. Mm-hmm. And also, Father, that they would also look of how to minister to not only Cindy, but also to other Bible translators through this great missionary organization. Mm-hmm. We love you. Thank you for so much. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.